We've been blessed with a beautiful day, and it's good to be able to come back this evening to study God's Word. How much emphasis do we place on God's Word in our lives? This morning we were eating breakfast, and Carlin was eating his cereal there at the counter, and he looked over at the calendar, and he saw on November the 18th in small print, it said Bible Sunday. Bible Sunday. And he mentioned something about that, and we said, Carlin, what did you just say? I didn't know he was looking at the calendar. He said, look over there at the calendar. Today's Bible Sunday. Well, on this particular calendar that we have hanging on the wall, apparently some group celebrates the third Sunday in November as Bible Sunday. And I tried to find something on the internet about that, and I wasn't really successful. But apparently that's a special Sunday to bring your Bible. And I'm thinking, well, every Sunday for us is Bible Sunday, and not just Sunday, but every day of the week we want to follow God's Word. We want to have a guide, and God's Word is that. And so I'm glad we sang this evening, Give Me the Bible. We need that not only on November the 18th, but on the 19th and on the 20th and every day of our lives. We need guidance from God's Word. This evening, I want us to answer the question that often comes up when you're talking with other individuals. And you may have wondered this yourself. Are you feeling led by the Spirit? Sometimes you'll be talking with someone, maybe at work or just out in the community, and they'll say something along the lines of being led by the Spirit. Meaning the religious denominational world, and some even in the Lord's church, claim to have a direct leading from God. God spoke to me this morning. God told me to do this, or God wants me to do such and such. And a lot of times we'll be talking with people and they'll say something like, I sensed that God was telling me to do such and such. I heard God telling me. Or I just know in my heart God is wanting me to do such and such. Maybe you've talked with someone like that. Maybe we've thought maybe along those lines in our own lives. The interesting thing about this is that every once in a while you'll hear a very grave and serious news story about someone being hurt or killed or murdered, and then the person is interviewed and they'll say even something along the lines that God told me to do this. And you wonder, well, how could God tell them to do such a heinous crime and that type of thing? So, whether it's someone who's wanting to do something good or maybe somebody who commits a serious crime, a lot of people are saying, God told me or God spoke to me. Sometimes someone might say, a number of things happened in my life recently that just told me that God wanted me to move here, or God wanted me to marry this person, or God wanted me to make this change in my life. And so a lot of times it has to do with what appears to be some revelation from God. So we need to answer the question, and we need to deal with the question, are you feeling led by the Spirit? Sometimes a person might say, well, I just feel that the Spirit wants me to do such and such. I just feel led by the Spirit to tell you this. I've had people tell me that. They'll, you know, just have a discussion with someone at Walmart or just someone anywhere, and they'll say, you know, I just felt the Spirit leading me to tell you what I'm about to tell you. Now, the issue is not, does the Spirit lead us? Clearly, we're led by the Spirit. The issue is not, are we led? The issue is, how are we led? How does the Spirit lead us? And when we're talking about individuals who make the claim, I'm feeling led by the Spirit, we're not making fun of them, or we're not trying to make light of them in any way. Many of these individuals are very serious, and they're very much wanting to love God and serve God and follow God. And so it's not a matter of poking fun at them. It's a matter of answering a question from God's Word. How is it that we are led? In the scripture reading that Brandon had this evening, beginning in verse 5, the Apostle Paul talks about those who are led by the Spirit and those who mind the things of the Spirit. And so this is a Bible issue. This is a Bible question. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 4, that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. And if you come on down in our reading in Romans chapter 8, in verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Verse 14 clearly says that we're led by the Spirit. It's a Bible topic. It's something that God wants for us. God wants us as His children to be led by the Spirit. The question is how? And so this evening I want to explore this question. There are two places in the Word of God that I find where the Scripture says that the Spirit led someone in the New Testament. First of all, there's the matter of Jesus. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, after Jesus was baptized, we're told that He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Matthew 4:1, Luke 4:1. This is one place in the New Testament where we're told that the Spirit led someone. Now, the interesting thing about this is that we're not told how the Spirit did that. We're just told that He was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We're not told if it was a direct leading or an indirect leading. We're not told if the Spirit spoke to Jesus, if the Spirit moved Jesus in some other way other than words. We're just not told anything other than He was led up by the Spirit. But what I want us to notice is that this is something that the Spirit did with Jesus, and we're not told in the Word whether or not this is something for us today. This was something that the Spirit did with Jesus. And we understand that there are several things that happened in Jesus' life that were not intended to happen in our lives. So this does not become an example or a model for us today. The only other place in the New Testament deals with the Spirit leading Christians. And I want us to turn now to that scripture, if we're not there, in Romans chapter 8 that Brandon had earlier. And I want us to start back in verse 1. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8 and let's see how it is that the Spirit leads us. We're told that the Spirit led Jesus. We're not told how. And we're not told that this is supposed to be for us today. But we are told that the Spirit leads Christians in Romans chapter 8. And so this does become a passage that we want to look at. We're told how this is done, and it's through the Spirit's teaching. If you back up with me to Romans chapter 1 and you follow the verses down, it becomes very clear how it is that the Spirit leads us. Now, just by way of Bible study and how you can help your friends, if you look at verse 14, the Scripture says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God." People, religious people, will read that verse and they'll say, "You see, the Bible says that we're led by the Spirit. And I just feel the Spirit is leading me to believe such and such." Well, wait a minute. You said, "I feel that the Spirit is leading me." That means that the Spirit is leading you through feelings. And that is certainly a possible way that the Spirit could lead us. But is that the way Paul says He leads us in this context? My point is simply this. A lot of times, people do Bible study this way. They pick out a verse that makes a statement, and they don't read above it or below it. They just pick out that statement. Now, when we start back in verse 1 and follow down through the text, we find how it is when we come to verse 14 that the Spirit leads us. Look at verse 1. Paul has been talking about in Romans chapter 7 how that sin condemns us. It causes us to be lost. "O wretched man that I am." The answer to that is to be free from sin in Jesus Christ. And so chapter 8 is a very positive chapter about how that we can be free from that sin that Paul talks about in Romans 7. Look at verse 1 of Romans chapter 8. "There is now therefore no condemnation," that condemnation that sin brings to our lives, chapter 7. "There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." That's why it's important to be baptized into Christ, because there's no condemnation there. That's why we need to be urgent about that. That's why we need to take that seriously. We're in condemnation until we've been scripturally baptized into Christ. But now that we're in Christ, there is no more that condemnation. Look at verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death." Now let's stop right there. We're trying to answer the question, how does the Spirit lead us, verse 14? Well, if you go all the way back to verse 1 where he starts this point, you begin to see how he does that. Look at verse 2. The Spirit has a law. Law is words. It's a body of teaching given in words. Whether it's the law of the United States, whether it's local laws, whether it's laws of the state of Tennessee that are on the books down there in Nashville. Law is written. It's words. And verse 2 talks about the law of the Spirit of life made me free from the law of sin and death. How does the Spirit make me free? Well, He can do that in a number of ways. He can give us a feeling. He can give us some indirect, mysterious kind of thing. Or He can give us a law. And the fact is, He gives us a law. The New Testament is the law of Christ, Galatians 6:1. It's also called the law of the Spirit, Romans 8 and verse 2. So we begin to see that the Spirit is using words, in other words. He's not using feelings. He's using words. Let's keep reading, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, talking about the old law, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now stop right there. Verse 4. How do we walk after the Spirit? How do we follow Him? The Spirit's out in front, and we're walking after Him. We're behind Him, walking after the Spirit. How do we do that? Well, He's already said in verse 2 that there is a law of the Spirit of life. And then I'm going to walk after the Spirit. I'm going to follow that law. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. This is what I want to do. This is what I think and I feel. I want to follow my wisdom and man's wisdom. We can do that, or we can follow the Spirit. Verse 5, but they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh, my thinking, what I think and I feel, the mind of the flesh, verse 6, is death. It will lead to sin. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Look at verse 6. The mind of the Spirit. The mind of the Spirit reveals His mind. We don't have to wonder what is on His mind. He reveals that through His words, through His law. And so we can follow the mind. We're not going to follow what we want. We're going to follow the mind of the Spirit. Well, what is that? Can you read someone's mind? We can't read someone's mind. Paul makes that point in 1 Corinthians 2:13 through 16. We can't read someone's mind. We can't read God's mind. He has to reveal His mind through words. We don't know what is on the mind of the Spirit unless He reveals those things in words. So we can follow the mind of the Spirit. Let's keep reading verse 7. Because the mind of the flesh, what I think and I feel, what I want to do, is enmity against God. It's against that. It's opposite of that. For it is not subject to the law of God. Now, if you're making notes, here's the second reference to law. Look at verse 7. In verse 2, we have the law of the Spirit of life. In verse 7, all of a sudden, Paul says that if we're following the mind of the flesh, we're not subject to the law of God. Look at verse 7. That's not a different law. Verse 7, the law of God is not different from the law of the Spirit, verse 2. It's the same. Because the law of God, verse 7, was revealed to the apostles through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. And so it's called the law of the Spirit. Verse 7 is called the law of God. Well, again, what is law? Law is a body of teaching. That's how God guides us. That's how the Spirit guides us. So the second reference to law. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. If I want to follow what I think and I feel, I don't want to be subject to, I don't want to listen to, I don't want to be brought under the law of God. I want to live the way I want. And of course, we know a lot of people like that today. Verse 8, and they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We cannot please God when we're living the way we want. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. He's talking to Christians who are not living the worldly, fleshly, carnally minded life. They're living, these saints at Rome, are living the way the Spirit wants them to live. They're following that law. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if it's conditioned, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Well, how does the Spirit of God dwell in us? Verse 9, as His law, verse 2, is in us, as the law of God is in our mind, verse 7, and if Christ is in you, I'm sorry, verse 9, but if the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, but if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ is in you, the body is death because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Notice that Christ needs to be in us. Hold your hand there and turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to come back and finish this out, so just keep your hand there at Romans 8. But turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Paul says, if Christ be in you. Well, is that something different now? No. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Colossians 3:16. Christ dwells in us as his word dwells in us, you see. And it's nothing different. Whether it's the Spirit dwelling in us or Christ dwelling in us, it's the words of the Spirit, the words of Christ, as they dwell in us. Back to Romans chapter 8 now, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead does not dwell in you, in other words, I don't want the mind of the Spirit, I want to live the way I want, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall... Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, that is, you are following the words of the Spirit, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So then, brethren, we are debtors. This is something that we must do. Not to the flesh. We're not going to follow what we think and feel to live after the flesh. But if you live after the flesh, you must die. You're going to be separated because of sin. But... because the mind of the flesh leads to sin. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If you back up to verse 1, that leading then is done through the law, through the teaching of the Spirit's words. In John chapter 15 and verse 16 and other passages, the Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. So we're told that Christians are led by the Spirit, Romans 8, 14. How? As His law and as His words do that. Now there's one other place in the New Testament that I know of that speaks of the Spirit leading Christians, and that's in Galatians chapter 5. Turn with me there. When somebody says, you know, I'm just feeling led by the Spirit, they're misunderstanding biblical teaching. We are led by the Spirit. But the Spirit is not using our feelings to do that. He's using His Word to do that, as it is expressed in His law or the law of Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 5. This is the second place in the New Testament where we're told about the Spirit leading Christians. And it's in verse 18, Galatians 5:18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The issue is not are we led, clearly. The verse says we're led by the Spirit. The issue is how. When I read verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, that states the fact of it, but I have to go elsewhere to find out the how of that. Now, how is that? Well, often when Paul says something, if we'll read enough in the context, we can answer the other questions. And if you look at other places in the book of Galatians, you can answer the how of this. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and beginning in verse 1. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. That should be verse 1 on the overhead. O foolish Galatians, who did bewitch you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was openly set forth crucified? This only I would learn from you. Receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did they receive the Spirit? Galatians 5:18, they're led by the Spirit. How did they receive that? How did they get that? They got it by the hearing of faith, because we hear the Spirit's words. There are a number of ways that the Spirit could lead us. The question is, how has He chosen to lead us out of those many ways? He's chosen to do that through His words. Come back with me now to chapter 5 and verse 16. Chapter 5, verse 16. Paul writes, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. Well, is that walking by feelings or by faith? It's by faith. It's by the words of the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. What we want and what we think and what we feel often is contrary to what the Spirit says in His Word, and there's a battle going on. And the question is, each day, who's going to win that battle? Who's going to win that battle? We have to make a choice. Either what we think and feel and want and desire, or what the Spirit tells us to do. So there's a battle going on, verse 17. For these are contrary the one to another, that you may not do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now look at this. For the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And then he lists several sins there. And then look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so forth. How do they know what to do? Verse 16. How do they know what to do to walk by the Spirit? Look at it. He's writing to them. He's writing. Look at verse 21. These things I forewarned you, that you would they that would practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm writing what not to do, and I'm writing what you should do. And Paul is writing by the Spirit. He's inspired to do this. It's the words that are written down in this chapter that tell them, if you do this, you'll be walking by the flesh. If you do this, you'll be walking by the Spirit. Paul didn't say, when you get out there, you'll just feel what to do. No, he wrote. He wrote down. He listed what it was. Love, wrote it down. Joy, peace, long-suffering. When you do these things, you will be walking by the Spirit. My point is, they weren't left to feeling. It was what Paul was writing. So they knew how to walk by the Spirit by the writing of what Paul wrote down. And he was writing the words of the Holy Spirit at that very moment. Let's remind ourselves. Go back with me to chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 12. When Paul was writing these words, when he was revealing God's Word, was it his own opinion? No. Chapter 1, verse 12. For neither did I receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came to me through revelation of Jesus Christ. How was that? Through the words of the Spirit. The point simply is that chapter 5, verse 18, we are led by the Spirit. But how is that? Is it by feeling? No. It's by going and looking at the things that are written by the pen of the Apostle Paul. Look with me now at chapter 6. Look at chapter 6. Paul continues this thought. Chapter 6, verse 8. For he that soweth unto his own flesh, that is, we're going to go out and live the way we want and the way we think and the way we feel. When we do that, we're going to reap corruption. But he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. How do we sow to the Spirit? How do we sow the fruit of the Spirit, the seed of the Spirit? How do we sow that in our life? We read what is in the message. Back up to verse 6. Let him that is taught in the Word. Let him that is taught in the Word. You see, those people there at Galatia could go out and sow to the Spirit because they had the teaching of the Spirit, and they could either follow that or they could follow what was in their own life. The point simply is that the Spirit leads us through His teaching, and He led these Galatian brethren and us today through the words, the Spirit-filled words of the Apostle Paul and the other apostles. Yes, the Spirit leads us through His teaching. The point simply is this, that today, the Holy Spirit is no less active today than He was in the first century. And He continues to lead us, but it's through the instrumentality, it's through the means and the medium of His Word. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, when Paul is talking about putting on the whole armor of God, he says, take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Spirit leads us. He guides us. He directs us, and we need that every day. But He does that not through feelings, but through words. The words written down, the words of the New Testament, the words of truth. Now, before we look at that, you might be talking with someone about these kinds of things, and they might say, well, you know, Brother Reeves, I agree with you. I read my Bible, and I love God's Word, and I always get something from the Bible. I always get something from the Bible message. But you know, when I get up each day, sometimes I need just a little bit extra. I just need a little extra help. When I go to work and when I go to school and when I'm out, there are things that burden me and weigh me down, and I just need a little help through the day. And I need the Holy Spirit to just get me through the day. I'm struggling with some very difficult things. And I read my Bible and I get some benefit, but I need a little extra help from the Holy Spirit. Sometimes someone will talk like that. Well, let me ask you this. What do you need? Well, I'll tell you what I need. I just need some comforting. I'm going through some difficult things. And we have things that happen in life, death and other kinds of things that bring sorrow. And I just need a little extra comfort. And then, you know, sometimes I'm out and I'm trying to live the Christian life and I read my Bible. And I get a lot of good from it. But I need a little extra encouragement because things are going on that are at work that are very negative, and I just need a little extra help. Well, let me ask you this. Can you get that from the Spirit? Oh, absolutely. But where is that contained? Let's look now at this chart. Do you know that everything that person just mentioned and more can be given to you right here? Let's look at it. Do you know that little extra comfort that you need, do you know you can get that in the Word of God? And you know, I just need a little extra strength today. Do you know that you can be built up by the Word of God? The point is this, that everything we need, even those little extra things that we need to get through the day, it's all done through God's Word. It's all done through the words of the Spirit. There's not one thing that we need to make it through the day that God and the Spirit does not give us through the words of the Spirit. Somebody says, well, you know, we need to convict people of sin. We need to wake people up. You know how that's done? We convict people through the Word of God. Sometimes throughout the day, I just need a little extra comfort. And by the way, look at these passages over here. These qualities, they're all tied to the Holy Spirit. Convicted of the Holy Spirit, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Holy Spirit, the guarantee of the Holy Spirit, faith in the Spirit, strength from the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit, the joy of the Holy Spirit, the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. They're all tied to the Holy Spirit. They're all things that the Holy Spirit gives. But these passages tell us how He does that. And it's not through feelings. It's through His Word. And so, conviction of sin comes through the words of conviction. The Scriptures were written to give us comfort. And here's this person, you know, I'm just having a bad day. And I need some comfort. What does Paul say in Romans 15? The comfort of the Scriptures. And it's no less the Holy Spirit doing it. The moment that we're reading His Word, it is the comfort of the Holy Spirit. But it's not tied to personal feelings. It's tied to His Word. Do you know, sometimes, you ever get down? Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 1:6. You ever get down? Yeah, we all do. There are things that get us down. We need some joy. We need something that will pick us up, that will put a smile on our face, that will make us feel good. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Look, if there's anything that's going to bring somebody down, it's first century persecution. And these people got it. But the next part of the verse says, with joy of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is always there, ready to give you the thing that you need most at the time that you need it the most? And here these Christians are being afflicted, and they needed some joy. And it's called the joy of the Holy Spirit. But other places in the Scripture talks about how that joy comes through words. The words of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me now to 1 John 1. And verse 4. Yes, we all need a little extra. We need things in our day to pick us up and encourage us. What we need to do is, we need the joy of the Holy Spirit and the strength of the Holy Spirit and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And He does that when we turn to His Word. He stands ready. Look at what John wrote here. Verse John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard, speaking of Jesus, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Yea, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. And these things, get it? These things we write, not you're going to feel it, but we write that our joy may be full. Notice how that joy is tied in to what John is writing. The Spirit is writing through John things that will give us joy. And with these other things that are on the chart. Sometimes, have you ever wondered whether or not you're really going to make it to heaven? You ever wondered about that? If I die tonight, would I go to heaven? We need a guarantee. It's called the guarantee. It's called the earnest of the Spirit. We need some kind of a guarantee that if we die tonight, we're going to heaven. We need that. We all want that. We sing in our song, but blessed assurance. We want assurance. We want some confidence. Where does that come from? Turn with me to 1 John 5. Does it come from a feeling? Will I just feel that I'm saved? Can we trust that? No. We know how the feelings can be wrong. So what gives us that guarantee? What gives us that yes, we can go to heaven? The writing of the words of the Spirit. Look at 1 John 5. We could really back up to verse 5 and read all the way down through. And there are several things there that tie the Spirit in with the words of truth. If you start reading back in verse 5. But just look at verse 13 for time's sake. These things I have written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. When we follow what is written in the Word of God, yes, we can say, when I die, I'm going to heaven. We can have that assurance. We can know. But look at verse 13. It's based upon, I have written unto you that when you read and obey and study these things, you know that you have eternal life. It's not when you feel that you have eternal life. It's when I have written these things, and of course, when we read and study. So we all need things from David. We need strength. The strength of the Spirit, Ephesians 3:16. But Paul said to the Ephesians there in Acts 20, I commend you to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. Does anybody need strengthening throughout the day? Absolutely. We all need that. We all go through things. I need some help with this. I need some pick me up. The word of His grace, which is able to build you up. The Spirit stands ready in all of these areas of our life to give us help through His words. Well, I read in the Bible about people getting dreams and visions, and that's true. Consider both the Old and New Testament. There was a time in which God revealed His Word and His will, and sometimes He used things. Sometimes He used dreams. Gideon's sign of the fleece, Judges 5. Elijah's still small voice, 1 Kings 19. Daniel's dreams and visions, Daniel 1:17. Saul's light from heaven. Any of y'all had that lately? A light from heaven? Saul had his. Philip had daughters who prophesied. John was caught up into heaven on the Lord's day to see this beautiful revelation. Had that happened to you lately? There was a time, Hebrews 1, in which God revealed His Word, turn with me there, through divers portions and in divers manners. We don't use that word anymore. The old English word, divers, the King James says, various, in other words. God having of old time spoken unto the fathers and the prophets by various portions, amounts, and by various manners, sign, small voice, dream, light, donkey talking to Balaam, whatever the case might be. Yes, we readily recognize that. But read the rest of the verse. He hath at the end of these days spoken to us in His Son. There came a time when God closed the chapter on revealing His Word in this kind of way. Now He speaks to us through the words of the Spirit, through the words of Christ, and that's how we're guided today. I want to make a point before we move on. We need to remind our friends with regard to this that even when this happened in Bible times, this was not something that was just happening to all people all day long. First of all, it was rare. When you read your Bible, do you find just everybody getting revelations from God? Just everybody, every man and woman? No, there were select times and places and individuals. It was rare. Number two, it was an intrusion into this person's life. This was not the normal thing that happened. This was God coming in from the outside, giving them a special supernatural revelation. There was nothing natural about it. It was extraordinary. It was supernatural. It was an intrusion into their normal affairs. It was very clear. There was no question as to whether or not this was actually God's Word. Sometimes people will say today, well, you know, I feel God is leading me to do such and such. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't really know this or that. There was never any ambiguity about it in Bible times. And then last of all, in some cases, it was against the human wisdom of the individual. When God told Jonah to go preach to Nineveh, did he want to do that? Sometimes God told people things, revealed things, and they're thinking, well, this is different than what I want. And yet they still needed to do what God said. So there was a time in which God revealed His Word and will in special, rare, supernatural kinds of ways. But here is the point. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. That chapter has closed. God is not working that way today. Does that mean God is not working? No, God continues to work as His Word works in us. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14. God continues to work, but He does not work in this way. In the supernatural revealing of His Word and will, in dreams and visions, and God speaking directly to me. That chapter has closed. Once He revealed all that He wanted to reveal, that chapter closed. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, where I am revealing God's Word through dreams and visions and speaking in tongues and those types of things, that shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, and tongue speaking was to reveal God's Word, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, that is the continual revealing of God's Word and will, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. There's a time in which God is revealing little by little. There is that time. That was the Old Testament period. That was the New Testament period. But when that which is complete is come, the complete revelation of God's Word and will, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now that I am become a man, Paul uses an illustration of a child and a man to talk about the incomplete period of revelation and the complete, mature, manly period, if you will. I have put away childish things. Paul is saying that love will always be the case. But these things that are going on at Corinth, prophesying and speaking in tongues, and one person had the gift of knowledge, those things are going to be done away when that which is perfect is come. When this revelation of God's Word and will is complete, those means, those special supernatural means will be done away. We'll always have love. But there's going to come a time when God is going to put a bookmark on His revelation. And it's the book of Revelation. And so that way in which God reveals is no longer today. I want us to think, as we come to the close of our lesson this evening, I want us to think about this matter of, I'm just feeling led by the Spirit. Ask your friends this. If you're feeling led by the Spirit, often what you're saying is different from somebody else. I've got another friend who says he's led by the Spirit, and he's saying something differently than what you're saying. So here's some things that you need to explore with your friends and some things that we need to think about. First of all, when people feel led by the Spirit, listen, here's what happens. Authority is given to one's inclinations or feelings, and I become the standard of what I need to do. I'm feeling led by the Spirit, and so I'm beginning to do what I'm feeling led by. That becomes the authority then, doesn't it? The proverb writer says in Proverbs 16 and verse 25 that there's a way in man that seems right, but the end of those ways is death. Jeremiah says, it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. One of the problems is I begin to put authority on what I think and what I feel. And then I go out and act upon that. And often it's contrary to God's word. What happens then is each person becomes a law to himself. Remember Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit? Now that is a law, and we need to follow it. But now I'm following my law because I'm feeling led by the Spirit, you see. And I'm going to go out and do such and such. I'm going to teach this. I'm going to believe this. I'm going to practice that. Subjectivism, which means what's in me, subject, what's in me, that becomes a rule over objective truth. Objective means what's on the outside. This message is on the outside of me. It's objective. But what I think and I feel on the inside, that becomes a law over what this is. It trumps that. And you know what? Have you ever talked with anybody about these matters? And you'll say, well, friend, the verse says such and such. And they'll always say, but I feel. I'm feeling led by the Spirit. Well, the verse says that now I'm feeling led. They're taking what they feel and what they think, and it's becoming more powerful than what is in the written word. It's beginning to rule over what is in the written word. I know what that verse says, but I just feel led by the Spirit, you see. They don't realize what they're doing. They're giving more credibility, they're giving more authority to their own feelings over the revealed word that's in the Bible. And then what happens is plain Bible teaching or wise counsel that we try to give them is often ignored. I know what you're reading in the verse, but I still want to do what I feel. And there have been people who have said, I wouldn't trade what I feel for all the Bibles in the world. There's been people that have said that. I wouldn't trade what I feel in my heart for all the Bibles that are in the world. Well, what you're trading is your law for the law of the Spirit right here. And the Spirit wants to lead you. He wants to guide you and me. And it's through His Word. But I just know in my heart. And so what happens is this plain Bible writing then is often ignored. And we just talk until we're blue in the face and no good is done. Because at the end of the day, it's what I think and what I feel. Do you see the danger of that, friends? And then last of all, there is no way to truly determine whether or not God is speaking because everybody's saying the same thing. God is speaking to me. I'm being led by the Spirit through my feelings, and there's no way to determine who's right and who's wrong because often they are preaching contradictory things. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 13. God knew in advance, and He told the Jews as they are getting ready to go into Canaan land, He knew that people would stand up and claim revelation from God, and they were just plain false. He knew that, and so He warned them ahead of time. Deuteronomy 13, if there arise in the midst of you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet or unto the dreamer of dreams, for Jehovah your God proveth you to know whether you love Jehovah your God with all your heart. You shall not walk after him or fear him. You shall walk after Jehovah your God and fear him and keep his commandments. Look at verse 3. It is a test. God proveth you whether or not you're going to listen to the word or listen to the dreamer. It's actually a test. And so Jesus even says in Matthew 24, in the coming destruction of Jerusalem, false Christs will arise, false prophets will arise, leading many astray. You know how they do that? God is speaking to me. I'm feeling led by the Spirit. I just don't want to tell you what God laid on my heart. They were all doing that in Matthew 24 and leading people astray. Well, how do we know? We go to the book. That's how the Spirit leads, through His Word and through His will. Well, as we close this evening, God has led people miraculously. I think about the pillar of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. What a beautiful way to lead Israel, Exodus 13. And the Spirit led Philip to meet up with the Ethiopian eunuch. And Paul wanting to go over toward Bithynia saw a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us, Acts 16, verse 6. There have been times in which God has led people that way. And there are times when God leads providentially. I think about the great Psalm 23. He guides me beside still waters. Matthew 6, 13. Lead me not into temptation. Providentially, God guides us in that kind of way. But when it comes to needing information on how to live, God guides me through His Word. Psalm 119, 105, Psalm 43, 3. Thy Word is my guide. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my way. Are you led by the Spirit? The Spirit wants to lead all of us tonight. We need to allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit. In other words, we need to allow ourselves to be led by His Word. We need to have humble hearts. We need to have open minds and open hearts to the Spirit leading us through His Word. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 that there is a natural man who does not mind the things of the Spirit. The natural man is the man who says no to the Spirit's Word. You know what? There are some Bible verses where people say, well, I don't agree with that. We're not minding the Spirit. I don't understand that. I don't follow that. I don't agree with that. That doesn't seem logical to me. I don't want to do that. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man does not mind the things of the Spirit. I don't want that, you see. Let's not be that way. Tonight, let's be open. Let's be led. Let's be guided by God's Word, and He will guide us all the way to heaven. It won't be to the religious confusion that we have today. It will be to the unity of the Spirit. We'll be joined together. We'll be guided in the same way. We'll all be guided to the same destination. If you're here this evening, I hope that this lesson has helped us. We need to be led. Let us be led every day. Let's not be stubborn like the stubborn mule that has to be drugged, you see. But let's be led. Let's be humble and open and let the Spirit lead us in that way. Paul says in Romans 8 that when we're led by the Spirit, it leads to life and peace. What a beautiful thing. Let's allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit's words today. And if you need to let Him guide you through His Word to come and obey the gospel, we would encourage you to do that even this evening or as an erring Christian back in some way. I hope that this has helped to clear up misunderstandings that we often have in religious discussions when somebody's saying, you know, I'm just feeling led by the Spirit. Hopefully we can take God's Word and help them along these lines to understand that, yes, we're led, but not by feelings, but by faith in God's Word. And if we encourage you to make your life right, why won't you come as we stand and sing?